Where were you when? Every generation has its where were you when question. It's a question that is a major earth-shattering event that kind of everybody knows and remembers. For instance, where were you when you first heard that JFK or Martin Luther King Jr. had been shot and killed? Or where were you when Neil Armstrong landed on the moon? Or where were you when you heard about Columbine? Or where were you when you heard about 9/11? Now, some of these examples predate many of us, but there's one new one that I think everybody can share. It's where were you when you first realized the coronavirus was real? Moments like these are big. They change us. There's no going back. Our culture shifts. Our lives are never the same. Unfortunately, many of these tend to be negative events, catastrophic events, or even tragedies. They strike with no warning, and they introduce a new sense of uncertainty into our lives. Is this sounding familiar? Welcome to 2020, as we're about to wave goodbye to it. What a year it's been. Has there ever been a year filled with more uncertainty? Probably not. I don't know. This was totally unexpected back in the spring. You know what's on this list. We've all been living it for the last 8 months, and sometimes that feels like 8 years. It's been a global pandemic and economic recession, mass unemployment, political division, cultural upheaval, racial tensions. I don't know, I must have missed something on that list. Now, I'm not trying to tear you down and discourage you. In fact, I want to do the opposite today. I want to bring you around to the other side of this. We've all been living through this tough year. If there's ever a year that we needed Christmas, this is it. If there's ever a year that we needed the hope of Christmas, this is it. If there's ever a year where we need Christ, this is the year. See, Christmas is all about hope. Far too often, our Christmases have become frenzied and overwhelmingly busy, and we've been rushing, right? We pack our schedules with so many seasonal happenings. And I mean, for the most part, they're fun, but at some point we go, I'm just tired of this. Our stores seem to be pushing decor, Christmas decor and merchandise and buying really early. Our season of peace is quickly overloaded as a season of stress. Like it or not, this pandemic is starting to slow us down again. Maybe, just maybe, we can reflect on Christmas a little bit more now. So in this Christmas season, why not pause, catch your breath, and remind yourself about what Christmas really means. That God sent his son into the world to be Emmanuel, God with us. Wherever you are in your spiritual journey today, I invite you to come and rediscover Christmas. It's time for us to pause after the year that we've experienced and remember the real meaning of the season. This year, I'm inviting you to come and rediscover Christmas. Rediscover the true meaning. Rediscover the hope, the peace, the joy, and the love that God sends to this world. So today we begin with rediscovering the hope of Christmas, even when we're surrounded by great uncertainty. As we begin this Christmas series, I want to start in a different place. I know that we all like to revisit the parts of the story that, you know, have angels and maybe dreams and songs and happiness and joy, but we're not going to do that today. You'll cover that in the coming weeks, but today I want to take you to a part of the Christmas story that we so often skip over. We so often forget that it's part of the Christmas story. We so often don't even think of it as part of the Christmas story because, you see, it takes place 8 days after the birth of the baby Jesus. It takes place 8 days later in a whole different place. And just before we go to that story, let me set it up for you. So Mary and Joseph, baby Jesus's earthly parents, have to take Jesus to the temple 8 days after his birth, as it was the custom for the Jewish law, the law of Moses, as they were told to do. And so we pick up our story in Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 25, and we read these words. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at the very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Simeon and Anna were torches of hope in Israel. They were expecting God to come through and do what he had promised. They believed this and they were waiting for it. Both Simeon and Anna are the elders in this story. They have both lived long lives. They had seen and experienced many things, both hardship for the people and pain in their own lives. We know that Anna has been a widow for decades, a position of low social status in that culture. We know that both Simeon and Anna have remained faithfully devoted to God throughout their lives. They are ready to see God act and do great things. Did you notice this? That neither Simeon nor Anna were the least bit surprised to find that the baby that they saw and beheld was the promised Messiah, the long-awaited for hope of Israel. Almost everyone else in the Christmas story seems to be taken a little back by the arrangements of what transpired to make the Christmas event an event. Many of them were startled by angels and heavenly announcements and moving dreams, and it caught a lot of them off guard, especially Mary. And I could understand that at first they may have been terrified, but not Simeon and Anna. One writer said, had angels appeared and startled them that they're so old they might have had a heart attack and died. I don't think that would have really happened. But, I think God didn't need an angel to get the message to these two faith giants. They were ready. They were tuned in, waiting, watching, listening, and expecting. They were filled with hope, and that hope made them ready. Simeon and Anna reveal several things about hope and what that can mean in our lives, and I want you to take this away from their story today. First thing I want you to see is that hope sees beyond. See, hope is the fuel of faith. Hope is the fuel of dreams and possibilities. Hope is the whisper in your heart that says, maybe, just maybe. Hope is alive in our deepest pain and most hopeless circumstances. No matter how bad your year has been, no matter what kind of problems and struggles you are facing right now, no matter what kind of season of darkness or pain you're in, let me encourage you not to abandon hope. Hope is still alive, even in our darkest pain and most hopeless circumstances. Hope chases away the darkness and uncertainty. Hope is alive because God is with us. Romans 8, 24 and 25 say this, "For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we will wait for it patiently." Hope is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they have already have? Hope exists before the reality comes to pass. Hope precedes our present reality. Our hope is not in what we have. Our hope is in what we are waiting for. Anna and Simeon were waiting for the Messiah, and their hope was in that long-awaited promised Messiah that was going to come to them. Maybe you're in a place right now where you feel overwhelmed with life. Maybe you can't see any light at the end of the tunnel. Maybe you feel like there is no hope for you. Maybe you think there is nowhere that you could turn. But hope in God is what you hold on to when there seems to be no other way. Hope is hope because you are waiting for it. You don't see it yet, but you're believing that it's coming. Hope sees beyond. Hope sees beyond, believes God for the future. Not only does hope see beyond, but hope reminds us that God is with us. He is here now and always. It was the Spirit of God that told Simeon that day to go to the temple. He was led by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. He was told, go to the temple and wait, I guess. And he went and he saw the baby and he knew. And when he held on to the promise, those many years, God had told him many years earlier that he would live to see the Messiah. It was God who had always been with Simeon all these years. The birth of the Messiah was the reminder that God is with us. It's the reminder that God sees you and he's here for you. He is Emmanuel, God with us. You can make it personal. He is your Emmanuel, God with you. You are not alone. Even in your darkest moments, Christ has come. The baby was born. The Messiah has come. God is with you every step of the way. God knows your pain and challenges and your struggles. He was not taken by surprise when a pandemic swept across our globe this year. He was not surprised when our economy took a direct hit. He was not surprised when the doctor gave you that dreaded diagnosis. God was not surprised when you got a call that surprised you. He was not surprised when you heard the words that broke your heart. He was not surprised when your world came crashing down and you felt confused and lost. God was with you then. He is with you now. He is your hope for tomorrow. He walks with you through the joys of life, and he will carry you through the dark days. Hope is God with you. Hope is God with us. And hope inspires us to carry on. Romans 5:5 says this, "And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." This hope from God's Spirit does not put us to shame. It will not let us down. It will not disappoint us. It gives us new and growing strength to see beyond the pain and confusion that we are in. This hope empowers us to move forward. Have you heard the story of Tom Moore? In April of this year, Captain Tom Moore, a 99-year-old World War II Army veteran in England, had a goal to raise £1,000 to celebrate his 100th birthday, and he wanted to raise this money to assist the healthcare system. So he decided that he would walk the 82-foot length of his garden back and forth 100 times, hoping to raise money. Well, the news spread quickly. Suddenly, this World War II veteran gripped his walker, wearing his navy blue blazer decorated with his military medals, and walking around his garden, he became a national hero. Captain Tom was an inspiration. He finished his challenge in just 6 days, and at the end of it, he ended up raising $33 million. Captain Tom's story went on to encourage other veterans, and actually here in Canada and Ontario, others started to do something similar. You see, hope encourages. There's a great lesson about hope in this story of Captain Tom. This is what he told the reporters. He said, "The first step was the hardest. After that, I got into the swing of it and kept on going." The first step was the hardest. Isn't that true of so many things for us? Isn't that true of hope? It can be so hard to see hope when you're in the middle of hurt. It can be so hard to imagine there is hope when it feels like everything is against you. It can be so hard to find that tiny spark of hope when you feel swallowed by pain. It can seem so difficult to reach beyond our troubles, to grasp God's outstretched hand. It can feel so impossible to take that first step towards hope when we are weighted down by our burdens and cares. But remember this, it starts with the first step. Can I tell you what the greatest first step for any of us is? It's the step that says, "I put my hope in Jesus." It means that we first trust Jesus to be who he said he is and to believe what he said. It's to decide that we want to have a relationship with God who gave us the very first Christmas gift, the baby in the manger. It's deciding that we will live our lives according to what Jesus said. You see, you can hope in Jesus today. All you have to do is acknowledge who Jesus is, believe what Jesus says, and commit your life to following Jesus. It's as simple as ABC. Simply invite Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. If you want help in knowing how to follow Jesus and how to become a Jesus follower, how to have a relationship with God, we want to assist you in this. And so if you can reach out to me with a simple text. Just text me the word love, one word. Text it to us at 416-267-1189 and follow the prompts so it'll ask for a name and a way of getting back to you. And we will be in touch with you because we want to help you understand the hope of Christmas and the hope of Jesus in your life. And so just reach out to us by texting us that word love. You see, hope inspires us. Hope emboldens us. Hope encourages us. Hope builds upon hope and keeps going no matter what. As you take time this year to rediscover Christmas, you will find hope in the arrival and life of Jesus. You can find hope because God sent a baby who would be the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And in the midst of whatever life is throwing at you, you can experience the hope of God's Spirit within you, carrying you, strengthening you, encouraging you, and giving you the strength to take the next step. My invitation to you is to take a step towards hope in this Christmas season. If you take a step towards God, you'll find He will take many, many steps towards you. If you reach out to the hope that Jesus is offering you, Jesus will take your hand and walk with you. As you begin this journey towards Christmas this year, remember this. Jesus is the only true hope that you have. Hope sees beyond. Hope is Emmanuel, God with us. Hope inspires us to carry on. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, we just thank you today that we can pause to rediscover Christmas. That in the midst of everything that we are facing and everything that's going on around us, you are our hope. And our hope is in you. So Lord, I ask that you would allow us to be refreshed by your hope, that we would take hold of your hope, that your hope would encourage us to take one step after the other. May your presence be with us. May your hope live in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.